So I'd like to continue from yesterday. I hope you also would like to. And especially talking maybe a little bit more about what it's like to come out of the habitual shapes, and remembering what we mean by shape is habit energy. So, for example, when we're talking about playing with different shapes, if it's really play, it's not a habit energy anymore. And usually what we mean by playing with shapes is not really play. So just maybe we can think of a better word than shape today, so that we don't get off track too much. And also to have in mind, in the different traditions in India, there's often talk about sanskar, which means formation or construction, and or shape. And it's something that is shaped and that also shapes. So that's also what we mean by shape. It's something that has been constructed that also actively constructs, or it is part of a process of further construction. It's not only constructed, it also constructs. So, and if you're more familiar with Pali, it's sankar in Pali, sanskar, sankar. One of my professors in college said that Pali is like Sanskrit with just cotton in your mouth. Mm-hmm. So you leave out some S's and so on. Mm-hmm. So, in case you've heard that. And then in Patanjali Yoga Sutra, they talk about vritti, which is more like compulsive movement, wave. And it's basically the same kind of idea. like that. Going into a shape, as we said yesterday. So in your case, yesterday you talked about boredom as one habit energy. So that's because it's a habit energy, that means the energy is more easily and magnetized to go into that flow, that direction, that compulsive movement, or that shape.
But when you say that, it also constructs.
Yeah. So if I keep reinforcing that habit energy of boredom, then that will become stronger, so it makes itself stronger, and it also affects the way Chad was also saying yesterday. And we talked a little bit about that. That's a whole other area where, let's say, if I'm bored, that has an effect on you. And then it might mean that you try to be more interesting to get me interested. Or it might mean also that then you feel hurt, and then later you use the same kind of strategy. You're bored, and you hurt someone else. You show boredom, and you hurt someone else. So it can be that we kind of imprint onto the outside world, so to speak, or onto people especially, kind of the opposite, so the helper-helped thing. I'll be helpless, you help me. Or I'll be strong, you be weak. Or it could be also, I'll be strong, you be weak. And then out of that feeling so weak, the power of life will come through you as strength that will harm. So the victim kind of cycle. So I've been victimized, and then because of feeling so unprotected and victimized, I come out as aggression, and I further victimize, feeling myself as a victim, not as an aggressor. That's what aggression is. Trying to feel powerful. Because of not feeling powerful. So that's kind of maybe like a basic idea of how, or one level of the kind of constructing, the active side, or the results, the way that the construction is also a cause, not only a result. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah.
Okay. And then someone else in the room, and also I, had the feeling for the last at least week that it would be really nice to talk about generosity, not as the Dana talk at the end of the retreat, please give money, but just because it's really important. And it seems to me also a really good way of talking about this, what are we willing to do for love, that we started yesterday, when we're coming out of the shapes. And moving into something else. And so why is it that people talk about generosity as like the beginning, middle, and end of the spiritual life? Maybe we start with that. But anywhere, whatever you feel like saying from that, or if there's something from yesterday that you want to say. Look the other side. No, it's okay. I was just kidding. So a couple of really important things I want to just pick up out of all of that beautiful heart talk. And one was when you were still, just before you sat up, you said feeling the negativity and feeling it's not me, but somehow, and I don't know if you quite finished the sentence, if you would like to.
I guess something that's been happening is that I like I hear these really difficult things which I hide, and on some level I know they're not me, and it feels like quite a deep knowing, and that somehow that deep knowing allows them to come.
Yeah,
I still get very caught up in them. It's somehow it's an interesting game.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, I know it's not me and I'm just relaxed and happy. It's like I know it's not me and this is good shit. But like at the same time, like I have to own them. Like I have to, like to be intimate. Like that feels like what I want to do is to have an intimacy.
Right.
That is me. That like another thing that was coming last night was that like the anger or the hate is actually like is made up from the same thing as the love. It's not. It's not different. It's really just images and then.
So it's a beautiful way of saying, like, it's not me, but what I really want to do is be intimate with that. And kind of have to also. Yeah. And that's where my wanting to appear different from what's going on. That's where it's so important to feel, well, it's not me, and love wants to go there. And love needs to go there. And also, wow, love meets love even in that hatred. And it's then also that unraveling of, let's say, the victim-aggressor thing, where we've just gotten twisted. What we really wanted was love or safety or connection or belonging or whatever. And then it gets twisted. And it gets untwisted also. That's the great thing about this word sanskara or shape or habit energy or whatever. It can be built, that means it can be unbuilt. And this is that meeting.
Like the flow is strong enough to just very like like it's really like stuck and then it just comes through and moving again.
Yeah, exactly. So what's really important here is that it seems like flow is more natural to life than being stuck. Although getting stuck seems to be pretty easy to do. And so it takes longer to build than to unbuild. So even if it takes us a pretty long time to unbuild, but the flow is deeper and more strong. So it's not like hatred could do the same thing and go and meet love and see itself there. But love can go to hatred and see itself there. Because it's deeper. And what was the other thing I thought was going to be really... Oh yeah, you were talking about generosity of speaking from the heart. So, again, like, if anything comes to anyone about generosity and what that means, speaking from the heart, why that kind of, not always, but very easily can kind of just disarm us. To see someone speaking honestly and powerfully from somewhere. So, anyone?
I don't think it's related to generosity, particularly, or maybe it is something like that, anything. But yesterday, after the talk, I felt some sort of unblocking. I think it's come as well from this disconnected movement thing. But I remember now something I've forgotten, which is I love to dance. I really love to dance. And I used to do a lot of it before. And after the talk, I sort of went outside and this movement started coming. And it just kind of got really erratic at first. And then I just started dancing. And I remember when I used to go out dancing before, it was kind of like, it took a few hours sometimes, kind of moving through what was awkward and the shapes, you know, kind of like, the mind was still connected to the limb, and it was kind of forcing the limb to respond to music in a way that wasn't natural. But then after a few hours, that kind of disappeared, and it's kind of like responding to the music, music and me became one. Mm. And there wasn't a mind kind of block, link thing.
Mm.
And like moving directly and responding directly to the situation rather than like some kind of mind contrived activity. Mm. So that came
beautiful.
Just to connect with something creative as a way of, you know, I felt a real kind of flow of energy coming through that.
Great. So it's great image of usually when we start to get back into the flow, it's a little bit like turning on the tap after a long time, and it's like, and it's all brown, and then, and then it's clear. Yeah. And then the direct, not mediated, not filtered. And I think that is generosity. That not filtering. And I don't know, but I'm just wondering now, like in the word generosity, if the gen part is something about, as you're saying, creativity, like about giving birth. I don't know. It can be that whatever has been stuck, that's what we feel it to be. And maybe someone who is compulsively active, when they start to tune in and turn on the tap, maybe they feel like, oh, aliveness is so quiet. Maybe it's kind of everything, but whatever was more missing, that feels like that, oh, this is the quality of aliveness today. So the vitality of quietness, the vitality of direct response, or the vitality of listening, or whatever. Beautiful. Yes?
Just remind me of, there's something about inclusion and alienation, how generosity feels, very much feels, yeah, about inclusion.
Mm.
And it just reminded me of a moment where I was working with a small group of about 12 teenagers, and a task they have to do is, it's about self-expression, and one task they have to do is speak for a couple of minutes on the topic of me, myself, and I, and they talk about their past, their present, their future, their dreams, and this was in quite a kind of bargain basement school, you know, there wasn't cool punches there really, and this one guy got up to speak, and he had that rigidity that he was speaking of. And that I was very aware of myself yesterday, actually, was kind of frozen, and the shoulders forward, and you could tell from his voice that there was an alienation there. It was a kind of, and it was like that, and it wasn't really safe to be on the ground at all, because I'm not sure what was going on, and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And he started to speak, and you could see he was the kid who, when he walked in the corridor, people just really didn't see that he was there at all. He started sharing about what really mattered to him, about his family, and then about Egyptology. And this spark, you could just feel his heart started to kind of give, come here, at the end, they give feedback to each other, and we have what's called the window sound. So they say something positive, then something constructive, and then something positive again. So, and everyone's saying, really interesting, really good. And she said, no. Hang on a second, and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's coming. This kid's just getting a little bit of stroke. And she said, I'm going to be honest, man. I was like, and she says, I always thought you were really, really boring. She said, yeah, just like no one really, you know. And now I see that you're really interesting, and that everybody's got something to say that's worth hearing. And this was like recognition from the popular girl. And you could see his whole body just open up. And suddenly that spontaneous generosity of her response to his heart meant that he had included himself in life. And just 2 minutes of speaking about something that mattered to him. So that's what came to me.
Cool. Than not me. Great. Yeah, there's also that, there's a kind of efficiency on a practical level when we're open. Where it's like, I don't know why I'm giving this bone, not I wasn't the one that gave the bone. But it just fits.
Very familiar with the shifts, with the habit energy.
Yeah, whatever.
And then it's like, wow, you know, who's she? You know, I kind of like her. That's like, it feels really quite juicy, like really juicy. And there's no end to it. Like, there's no. And this also that brings more, that invites more juice somehow. And
endlessness, you mean? Or what invites more juice? The juice?
The juice, just okay. If I reinforce, that's also attracting more of the same. Maybe more of the new, more of the fresh. Mm. Yeah, fresh is a good word for it.
Mm.
And like one comment you made yesterday that I want to pick up on was around sexuality.
Mm.
You said it's interesting when, I'm not sure if you use the word repressed, but something about sexuality that when we don't really give it its proper place.
Mm-hmm.
For me, like I'd like to hear from you more about that. It seems that creativity, like an artistic creativity and sexuality, are very close, like very good friends, and like a lot, I can really see when I look back in my life how this thing of control and of not being vulnerable, of not really,
this thing of control. And? No, and how does this relate to sexuality?
Like, not, I guess, feeling that is such a vast terrain.
Which one?
that a feeling of like, you know, I don't want to lose whatever, lose how this person sees me, how I see myself, more. Don't want to be too exposed, too open, too much, maybe too much, you know?
Like, yeah.
Really, outside of the box, like the shape, even though the shape around the sex and sexuality might be painful, it's still very familiar and a kind of this is a classic. it was a kind of a home, you know?
Yeah.
And so even though there's the acknowledgement of not so comfortable home, but like, and like the same thing with artistic expression, and I can look back, like there are always attempts, it leaks, like you can't, I can't really, like, it would leak in one way or another, and
you can't really
contain it.
Contain what?
Contain an artistic expression.
Mm-hmm.
But in the ways in which it was leaking, or kind of voicing itself, was not really appreciated, you know, in my early years in the environment in which I was raised up. And it seems like that got really kind of turned in on itself, started to eat itself in. Now, all these years later, being so kind of fitted for such a long time, that it's that, like, the leaking, it's not, I'm seeing, or it's not really leaking so much, like it's more, something more, it's more on. And it's more welcome, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe now. Let's say it's safe now. And it's probably been safe for a really long time, but only now am I aware that it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of
and you want to be?
I want to share, and I want to be alive. I want to be alive, and I want to be free.
And how does the control affect the sharing or the flow?
It's like these middle gates that come down with spikes on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like one after the other, and it keeps all of that very far away, very like in some sort of a vault.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And it still will, it doesn't go away. It just eats itself in a very ugly way.
Yeah.
Yeah? So these, like, somehow they're going.
Yeah.
So, about, like, I mean, maybe I don't even care, but I'm with everyone. I asked to hear more from you about like when sexuality is not allowed or a natural sexuality is not allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Can you hear?
No.
Maybe they have to come closer in this case. Are you done?
You had mentioned compromise yesterday and kind of the irony of how we trade really what is what matters.
was the placebo. Placebo, can you explain placebo also?
Placebo is a pill that is supposed to have some potency, supposed to help you in a way that you expect, but in fact it's empty, but you take it, and because of your expectation, the result is obtained. So it's like a liar. It's a myth. It's empty, but because your mind is stronger than this myth, it's working. So maybe that's not a good analogy.
Yeah, because it works. Right, and 60% of the time, the placebo works.
Okay.
Yeah. For a real healing.
And this thing about
but being, good enough.
Being appearing needy, you know, and this thing about control, and I'm not absolutely refusing to appear needy. I don't need the attention. I don't need the support. And in fact.
That's all I want.
That's
all I want.
Yeah.
So, I was part of the coming out of the shapes. Like, Bodhiji was talking first about how wonderful and joyful and fresh and just juicy upon juicy. And we thought one was amazing, so imagine two. And then slowly, towards the end, a little bit more of how difficult it can be, that process of coming out of the habit energies, out of the stuckness. And also what Roniji was saying, like feeling the power of what was suppressed, what we denied, what was in the dark, and oh, that's why I was keeping it away. It's not that it's just a little tame puppy. There's a reason that we're afraid of losing ourselves in sexuality, because even when we repress it, it's stronger than us. And if it doesn't come out in some kind of distorted sexuality, it comes out in addiction and other ways that are, as Bodhi was saying, very to the point of destruction. And so I can just tell a little bit of what happened for me. So in the first year that I was doing kind of very regular meditation, I tried with books before, and I always found myself gravitating to lie down, and the books never said lie down, they say sit. So I thought I was doing it wrong. But anyway, so once I went to some teachers, and they told me to sit, and I sat. Process started more strongly, and things from the past started coming up. And it was a kind of time that they call the emergency period, and because the things in my past had to do with sexuality as well, the issues that were coming up also had to do with sexuality, and I could have been seen as having normal sexuality, but basically had no access to my sexuality to that point. And the access was starting to come, but I didn't know that. I just knew I was having nightmares, like, of the end of the world pretty much every night, and we have to hurry and get out of here, and my friends are leaving me, and it's just everything is devastated, destroyed, bombs. I would need to get up and close the kind of blinds, like curtains on the window at night, because I lived on a busy street. And I would take such a long time to go to the window to let it down, because I would have images of being shot if I stood up. And I remember it was so painful emotionally, or whatever that is, psychologically or whatever, that it wasn't that I really considered hurting myself physically, but I could really feel how physical pain would be a relief, something other than this that I can kind of feel. And it's not that I wanted to show it at that point, but I can imagine someone might want to be like, see how much I'm hurting? See the blood? And it also so happened that it was a time I had been to India, worked at a meditation center, and then gone back to college. And all of my close friends were out of the country, which is probably a good thing. But basically, I was totally alone. I couldn't do anything. I couldn't read more than... I would read one line over and over again in my books that I was supposed to study. I was taking an extra course to make up for what I missed in India, and it was just ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. And I knew I needed help, but I couldn't get to the phone and call, try to find a therapist or whatever. And at the same time, all of that was going on, at the same time, it was really the first time that I touched myself and felt real sexual pleasure. But at the time, I didn't think, oh, this is really worth it, this is great. Look, my sexuality is coming back. It was just a total nightmare. And only later I realized, wow, that's part of what was happening. So it can be, you know, coming out of that particular shapes. Like, probably if I didn't have a single room and enough space, I would have been put away somewhere in another time or another culture. Yeah. So sometimes juiciness comes back to life like that. Sometimes the flow comes back and it just really sucks. Another time, some years later, I remember also about sexuality. And this is also about generosity, really, in the sense of giving ourselves to life. Just being in intimacy with my partner at the time and feeling that I was relating to him as the man who abused me, the neighbor. Somewhere I just felt that shape somehow, suddenly. There was enough trust there to actually feel this deeper shape. And so we were able to, like, walk through that wall. And I really felt like I was literally like changing the pattern of the neurons in my brain in that 1 minute. So it wasn't painful, but it was just really terrifying. And like the sense of the power of life wanting that to happen, like waiting for me to be ready to just go, like the Incredible Hulk suddenly. Actually, it was a very slow feeling of like the neural patterns just shifting like this, and it was that was that man and not that man. So generosity. Yes. Can you hear? Almost. Almost. They can almost hear you.
After the talk yesterday, I was thinking about better talking metaphor of the river, and I think you were talking about going to a paper shape. And I was sort of thinking that the power of that river could even eventually change the shape of rock.
Yeah.
And I was thinking this, and then I was also thinking that also the shape of a rock could change in a split second. And then within a few seconds of thinking, if I look down and see water, and I look down and I find this stone.
They could, maybe they can't see. Can you see? Yes. And it looks like a heart when she holds it.
Mm.
So the time is over. Yeah, we were just starting. So don't stop. That's a good place to continue your inner reflections in silence. What have you heard so far today about me and love? Or felt?
Really heartfelt connection.
So I think if you keep, because you said you're really questioning, so I think if you keep it as a question and not a conclusion, but also really to keep the honesty that almost all the time there are shapes. And again, remembering shape means habit energy. So when there's full flow, it's not habit energy. But yes, I agree that some habit energies are more fluid, more permeable, less controlling. But I agree that almost all of the time we're operating from past and not from life. And also, I wasn't joking about like really trying to feel what real love might, what those words might mean. And for me, it's not limited to relationship to, that relationship to someone or something can be one expression of, like surrender to life, where we let, like inside this kind of questioning part that just is in love with life secretly, and usually very, very secretly, very, very afraid. But our potential is to let that flower, that the love in life, of life, actually can take over the whole life. And then I don't think we have the question about, do we need shapes? Even silk pajamas. It's not being afraid of looking like a shape also. But it's not a question about putting on clothes. And also, like, this incredible, like, utmost patience with what I understood of the helmet was that the helmet was helping to get out of the shape and not the shape itself. And this really patience with the months of nightmares are being, like, kind of semi-insane. Or maybe 100% insane. Or 1% or whatever. The idea of being finished, I think this also doesn't come up. So maybe it's more noticeable what doesn't come up. And we can notice when we're feeling that flow, really, whether it's kind of burning, like Batel was saying yesterday, or fresh, like Bodhidhi was saying today. Just seeing, like, when we're in that, if there are certain questions that are not questions, they're just not an issue. So we have to end. Just have a few moments together quietly, please. May all of life, including us, experience what the Buddha called the sure heart's release.